Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, we started week one in our Christmas series, and we started talking about how the story of Christmas actually started with love, because God so loved the world that He gave. And then last week we talked about that the Christmas story actually has a message, and that message is that Jesus reigns, that Jesus brings salvation and joy, and that Jesus sends us into the world with this glorious and great message. And today we're going to talk about how the story of Christmas revolves around the gift of grace. The gift of grace, the gift of grace that showed up in that manger 2,000 years ago. Let's read just a little bit about grace in the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says this: God saved you by His grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Come on, I want you to say this one. Say gift right now. Gift. That's right. This is a gift. Grace is a gift that comes from God. Romans chapter 5, verse 15, it says this: but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of forgiveness to many through the other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. I want you to see that God's gift, it is a free gift of grace. And that free gift of grace, yes, it forgives our many sins. It allows us to live in relationship with God. And that's why the great song was written, Amazing Grace. That's why the Apostle Paul says that it is wonderful grace, because this gift truly is amazing. And this gift truly is wonderful. And you might say, well, what is grace? Can I just give you a little working definition, if you would, for the word grace? Grace, we're going to define it today as God's kindness and favor towards the undeserving. God's kindness and favor towards the undeserving. Say, who is in that undeserving category? It's me, it's you, it's all of us. We all fit in that category, but it is God's kindness and favor to those that do not deserve His kindness or His favor. And the reason that we are celebrating Christmas, it's not because of the presents, and it's not because of the hot chocolate and the lights and all those things. The reason that we celebrate Christmas is because God chose to give us, this world, me and you, this wonderful, amazing gift of grace. And today, we're just going to take a closer look at this gift of grace. And I just want to give you four things that grace gives. And remember, our definition for grace is simply, it's God's kindness and favor to the undeserving. So we're going to be looking at it through that filter. And the first thing that grace gives, although it gives many, but the four specific things we're going to talk about today, is that grace gives forgiveness and freedom. Grace gives forgiveness and freedom. And this is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, so we praise God for the glorious grace He poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with His blood, the blood of His Son, and He forgave our sins. Now, I want you to notice that God doesn't extend His grace begrudgingly, but God extends His grace lavishly. I want you to see that right there in the scripture. It says that he pours out his glorious grace. He pours his grace upon us. He is not stingy with his grace. Instead, he is splashy whenever it comes to his grace. He pours it out and lavishes it upon us. And you know, I think maybe the greatest story in the Gospels, as Jesus is trying to describe to us the Father and this whole concept and idea of grace, is when Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 15, and we call this story the story of the prodigal son. And this man had two sons, and the younger son says, "Father, I want my share of the inheritance, and I don't want to wait until you die to get it. I want it right now." And so the father gives him his share of the inheritance. And the Bible says that this young man goes out and he wastes that money. He spends it on wild living. And he comes to the place where he has absolutely nothing. He's actually sleeping with the pigs, looking at the food that he's feeding pigs, thinking how good this food looks. And he has an epiphany. And he says, "You know what? I'm going to go back to my father's house, because my father's workers have it better than this." And so he begins the journey on the way back to his home. And as he's on that journey, he begins to rehearse. "This is the speech that I'm going to give my dad. I'm going to tell my dad, 'Dad, I don't deserve to be your son anymore. But if you'll just let me work with your workers, live in their living spaces, I would greatly appreciate it.'" And as he's on his way back, the Bible says in Luke 15, as Jesus is telling this story, says the father sees him coming from a long way off, and he begins to run after his son. And when he gets there, he says, hey, he hugs him, he kisses him on the cheek. Remember now, he has been living with the pigs. The father embraces him, kisses him on the cheek, says, bring him a new robe, get some new shoes on his feet. Come on, bring that ring. Let's put it on his finger and let's kill the fattened calf and let's have a feast today, because my son who was lost and was gone has now come back home." You see, it's such a beautiful story of God's grace. It's such a beautiful picture of God's forgiveness. And as Jesus is telling the story, I want you to put yourself in that story. You are that son. You are the one who has committed a sin. You have violated the way of God. And I want you to see, as Jesus tells the story of the father, and he says the father sees him from a long way off. The son didn't even get to the front door. The father saw him. That what you need to know is that God sees you. He sees you exactly where you are. And the father is running towards you. He is always in that posture of coming towards you. And he wants to forgive your sins. And this is such a beautiful picture of God's grace, and that God's grace forgives our sin. It forgives our unwise decisions. It forgives our immature reactions. God's grace forgives our selfish behaviors. It forgives our foolish words. God's grace is so amazing and so wonderful because God's grace always forgives. Think about the story for a moment. This story of the prodigal, that God didn't forget, or the father in the story, he doesn't forget the son and move on. Instead, he is willing to forgive the son for his sin. And this is a beautiful picture of God. God doesn't forget you and move on, but no, instead, God forgives your sin. And this is the beautiful thing. Not only does God not forget you and move on, God forgets and moves on from your sin, not from you. That is amazing news. God doesn't forget you and move on. God chooses to forget your sin and move on from your sin. This is what the scripture says in Isaiah 43, verse 25. "Yes, I alone," this is God speaking, "will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again." God says, "I'm going to do it because I want to do it. I'm going to erase your sin. I'm going to delete it from the hard drive. I'm going to blot it out because that's what I want to do, and I will never think of them again. Come on, God does not just forgive your sin. God wants to forget it and move on from it. But it's a very important that we talk about the other thing that grace gives, that grace doesn't just give forgiveness, but that grace also gives freedom. God forgives our sin, but God also brings freedom. You know what he brings freedom from? He brings freedom from the result or the residue or the effect of sin in our lives that would try to bring guilt, condemnation, and shame into our life. And God wants to free you from those things. See, God doesn't just want to see you as forgiven, as clean, and holy. God wants for you to see yourself as forgiven, clean, and holy. You know, one of the most difficult things is to watch a person that has been forgiven by God not live in the freedom that is provided by God. And it's one of the most difficult things to watch, is to watch somebody who has been forgiven by a gracious God, but then they do not live in the freedom that that God provides. This is what the scripture says in Romans 8, verse 1. It says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." What this is saying is, you're not guilty, so stop acting like it. There is no condemnation. If you are in Christ, if you have put your faith, hope, and trust in him and in him alone, and you have put your faith, hope, and trust in his sacrifice for your sin, there is no condemnation whatsoever. So if you are not guilty anymore, let's stop acting like we are guilty. Let's stop carrying the weight of that guilt and that shame and that condemnation in our lives. This is actually what Jesus said in John 8. Verse 32, he says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, this was what Jesus said. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus is saying, the truth will set you free. Yeah, the principle of truth will set you free. But there is also a freedom that only comes from the truth, the one who is the truth. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the gift of grace to the world. And he says, when you know me, when you know the truth, it will set you free. And verse 36 in John 8 says, "So if the Son sets you free, then you are truly free." If the Son decides to set you free, you are truly free. So don't live in shame. Don't live under the burden of guilt. Don't live under the weight of condemnation. No, the gift of grace has given you freedom. You are free from those things. But not only are you free from the residue, you're not only free from the result, that sin, that guilt, that shame, you are also free from the power and control of sin over your life because of the victory that Jesus has given you. You see, the Son of God, the gift of God's grace came not just to forgive our sins, but he came to set us free from the result and the grip of sin in our lives. The gift of grace, it gives forgiveness and it gives freedom. Let's see the last two things here that grace gives, and that is that grace gives friendship and forever. Grace gives friendship and forever. Titus chapter 3, verse 7, it says this, "Being made right with God by his grace, we could have the hope of receiving the life that never ends." By being made right with God, we have received this hope of receiving a life that never ends. You see, being made right with God is more than just having your sins forgiven. No, instead, being made right with God is being given a seat at God's table. It's being given the identity as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. It's being given your standing as a friend of God. And this is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So now we can rejoice. We can rejoice in this wonderful new relationship that we have because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are now friends of God. I want you to think about that for a moment. You are now a friend and family with Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And because of his unconditional love and because of the gift of his amazing grace, you can be a friend of God. Now, let me just give you a quick reminder. This is based upon what God has decided and done, not based on what you have decided or what you have done. So we can't boast or brag about what we have. We can't boast or brag about the life that we are living. We cannot boast or brag about our relationship with God because we did not create that relationship. God decided that he wanted this relationship, and God did something so that we could have this relationship. And as a matter of fact, the scripture says that we were enemies with God. We were enemies with God, but then through Jesus, he decided to make us friends of God. And what God has done should cause us to rejoice. What God has done should cause you and me to rejoice, for our heart to be filled with joy, for us to give thanksgiving out of our mouth, for us to rejoice because the scripture says that we have this wonderful new relationship with God. And that relationship with God should cause you to rejoice every single day. That's why we say Christmas is not just to be celebrated in this season, but no, the gift of grace was given for every season of your life. It's to be celebrated every morning. It's to be celebrated every day. It's to be celebrated every year because the gift of grace, it's not about December 25th. It's about every single day of your life. And the gift of God's grace should cause you to rejoice because you're a friend of God. But not only does this grace make us friends of God, this grace invites us into forever with God. Not only does it make you a friend of God, but it invites you into forever with God. Grace opens the door for eternity with God that you could have never pushed open on your own. That's why the scripture said in Titus that we just read a moment ago, it says that we could have the hope of receiving the life that never ends. See, it's one thing to have a good life here on this earth, but it's a whole nother thing to live in eternity with Almighty God. This is what the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, as we get ready to close today. It says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace. And once again, how did you get this? How did you get what was coming? Because of his love and by his gift of grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope. Through grace, you were given eternal comfort and a wonderful hope. Now, let's think about that just for a moment. Eternal comfort. What is eternal comfort? Eternal comfort is knowing, it's the peace of knowing that you will spend eternity with God in heaven. Jesus told his disciples, he says, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I wouldn't have told you this if it wasn't true. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to get it ready for you. I wouldn't tell you this if it wasn't true. And you see, the gift of grace, it's not just about the here and the now. No, the gift of grace is about forever. The gift of grace is not just about this moment. It's not even just about this world. It's about eternity. It's about forever. And you know, no matter what you are facing in life right now, no matter what kind of punch 2020 has delivered to you, no matter what you are walking through, no matter how dark the valley might be, we as believers in Jesus Christ, as disciples of His, we can always find comfort in the fact that we were not just created for this life. We were created for eternity with Him. And so no matter how difficult it might be right now, no matter how much pain you might be living in right now, no matter what you might be walking through in this season of your life, the gift that God gave, the gift of grace, that gift of grace is now giving to you forever. It's giving you hope and eternal comfort that you will spend eternity with God forever. You see, this gift of grace, it is truly from God and it is to us. It is from God and it is to us. And that's why we chose this graphic, because this is really what God is giving you right now. He is giving you a gift and it comes from Him. It's not coming from me. It's not coming from North Point. It's not coming from this world. No, the gift that God is giving you, this gift came from heaven. It's coming from heaven right now in this moment. And it is the gift of grace. And the gift of grace that God has given to you is giving to you forgiveness of your sins. It's giving to you freedom from the result or even the residue of your sin. It is giving to you friendship with God, and it is offering you an invitation to spend forever with God. See, that's what Christmas is all about. God coming to this earth, God stepping out of heaven and coming to this earth so that one day you could step off of this earth and you could step into heaven. This is the glory of the Christmas story, and it is the gift that God gave to you, and all you have to do is receive it and accept it and begin to walk in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this amazing, wonderful gift of grace. This grace that you have not given begrudgingly, but that you have given lavishly. This grace that you have poured out upon your people. Today, right now in this moment, if you say, Philip, I need this gift of grace. I need the forgiveness of my sins. I need this freedom that comes from God as a gift. I need the freedom from shame and guilt and condemnation. I need the freedom from the power and control of sin in my life. I need this friendship with God. I need the gift of friendship with God, of having a seat at the table, of knowing that I'm a son and a daughter. I am a friend of God. And Philip, today I need to receive the invitation, or I need to be reminded that because of this gift of grace, I am going to spend forever with Him. You say, Philip, that's me today. I need to receive this gift of grace. Come on, right there wherever you're watching right now, if that's you, just say, God, that's me. Just say it out loud. God, that's me. I need this gift of grace. I receive this gift of grace. God, I need forgiveness for my sins. I need freedom from sin. I need friendship with you, and I want to spend forever with you. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are a good God and that you give good gifts to your children, and you have given the greatest gift that we could have ever received when you gave the gift of your Son, the gift of your grace to this world, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, you know what to do right now. Put a big amen on that. I just want to say, I hope that you and your family have a very, very Merry Christmas. And don't forget, next weekend, December 27th, we will be online only. No on-campus services on December 27th. We are putting together a very special end of the year online message for you that's not just going to recap 2020, but it's also going to give you a glimpse into 2021, and you don't want to miss it. Hey, on behalf of me and Destiny and our entire family, Merry Christmas, and we love you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.